Let's pray. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would continue to move in this imperfect vessel and this imperfect message. Lord, you were just so amazing this morning, Lord. It's just so easy to worship you. I just felt your presence. I pray your presence would reside in your word and you would perform it well beyond what I expected to do, Lord God, that you've set it today in purpose in people's hearts, and that my heart will receive it as well, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Say for Pete's sake, that was a pretty long intro, right? Yeah, the finale today, chapter 5 is of 1 Peter is what we're going to be in. That will be our text, you know. The primary takeaway from this series, I want to make sure you get that down before I jump in. I want the primary takeaway from For Pete's Sake, all volumes, is this. As a church, the whole church, we should be having and displaying genuine faith. We should be having genuine faith, and we should be displaying genuine faith, right? That's what we should be doing. Say, I'm the church. So who should be displaying genuine faith? Oh, the church should. Hallelujah. That's me, right? Right? Genuine faith, active and alive and well in me. Sometimes it's small. Sometimes I have to pull up my faith bucket. It's tiny. And I got to go, hey, I got some granules. What do you got? You got a measure of faith? I got a measure. This is a hard thing. I'll believe for a miracle, but it's a hard measure of faith. And sometimes my faith feels ginormous. Like, I feel you, God, you know. But it's got to be genuine. And it's got to be alive, and it's got to be well in me, right? It's us, the church, living out genuine faith, right? All of us, the church now. So for Pete's sake, season one finale, let's jump into 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. I'm going to be slow rolling, my friend, so don't get a cramp in your finger. Scrolling. Therefore, I strongly urge. Starts off 1 Peter. Actually, we should have 1 through 4 up. There we go. Therefore, I strongly urge. I don't know if we understand that terminology. I want to give you a word picture, okay, from my hometown. If you're ever walking in my hometown and some old guy comes out and goes, I strongly urge you to walk on the other side of the street. I recommend you get on the other side of the street as fast as you can. Can't catch me on the gingerbread man. Oh, got you, bro. Don't be like, why? No, I strongly urge you comes out of some old guy's mouth or some paisan's mouth. If he strongly urges you to do something, I strongly urge you to do that thing. If it's, you know, across the street, go get across the street. So we don't always get strongly urged. Say for Pete's sake. Therefore, I strongly urge the elders among you. Okay, wait. Elders, pastors, spiritual leaders of the church. Elders, pastors, spiritual leaders of the church as a fellow elder. Now, I think for Pete's sake, Simon Peter here is being humble. Remember how he wasn't when he was walking with Jesus? Remember the lessons he had to learn in humility? This is how he addresses himself right here. As the first elder, he's so humble now that he's saying that we're equal. That's like saying, and you should be, well, we are. We're all God's children. Okay. That's like saying Michael Jordan and I both play basketball. That's true, but it ain't equal. Right? I'm just trying to help us. Sometimes we get a little smug. That's not good. And he says, and as an eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ. My purpose was to testify to the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory that is to be revealed. For Pete's sake, so far, what a convincing resume. You know what he hasn't put on here that he's being prepared for? He's about to be a martyr. That's not on the resume. He didn't get to write afterwards. He wrote before. So my opinion here on this letter that we've been doing, Peter's letter, as Jesus said, Peter was what? The rock upon the revelation upon which he was going to build the church, right? As Peter, 1 Peter is a God-inspired letter, just like the rest of the Bible. But this is coming from a guy who was right there. A guy that had a lot of correction in his life. And then Jesus used him to build the church, right? So episode 5 is to leaders of every level. Say every level. Every level in the church. any type of church leader, any and all, if you got a title or an office of any kind, from children's church worker to parking lot attendant, if you're over anything, this should be us, the church. We should hear this. If you're a husband, say, oh! If you're a husband, I'm talking to you this morning. Yeah, so you might have to be in the church. You just got to be leading something. You at work, you have a team underneath you. You have anybody that... Pay attention to the end of this letter, right? He says, shepherd. Shepherd, shepherd, shepherd. We hear that a lot, don't we, in the church? Shepherd has a job. And a shepherd's job, like other jobs, has tools. The main tools I want to talk about, we're just going to pause right here. The main tools of a shepherd we know are what? One of them is like the rod, right? Your rod and your staff. So a shepherd's supposed to have a rod. So what's a rod for? If he's saying to a shepherd, 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 it's like saying, go build something and take your tools. Okay, I'm just helping us. Go do this, take your tools. The rod is for both sheep and wolves. For correction at times, Peter had to be corrected at times as the church. Anybody had not been corrected by the Lord? If you've never been corrected by the Lord, I'm gonna really strongly urge you that you don't know him. Doesn't mean he's not loving you, but if love is correction sometimes. You know, at times, which child should I pick on? Don't touch that, right? Don't touch that. Why? You'll burn yourself. And don't touch it. Why? I'm trying. You're being mean. You're being controlling. No, I'm being a parent, right? I'm bringing out correction. It's important because I love. And for protection at times. The rods for protection. Sometimes, unfortunately, there are wolves. And wolves come in sheep clothing sometimes. So sometimes you got to be able to correct with love and also protect, right? We're going to get in protect a little bit more, I think. And then you have a rod and a staff. I used to think they're the same thing. But he said rod and staff. So there's two different tools. The staff is for leading, being God's seen person, being an example, trying to get everybody's attention, not to you, but to where God's saying to go, right? It's being his under-shepherd, standing in his authority. When we talked about last week, remember he said, men, you have a responsibility, it said. The staff is a responsibility. You can't just chuck it down. Well, I don't want to lead these sheep. Too bad. He put it in your hand. That's your job. I don't want to be the head of my house. You shouldn't have got married. And having a house isn't tyrannical. We learned it's chupitasso. Submit one to another. Right? I don't got to go back over last week. So you got like, you memorized it, Pastor. You crazy? Move on. And it's, we have to understand it's a serious responsibility, you know, especially shepherding behind a pulpit of any kind. You should take it seriously, right? And then the other thing a shepherd's tool is vision. In peaceful waters, he leads me. His green pastures restores my soul, right? You have to have a vision to where God wants his flock to go. You have to have a vision for what you're leading, where it's supposed to go, right? Green pastures that he wants them feeding at. And I emphasize he wants. Because it'd be easier to not preach some stuff. I'm being honest with you. Like, you know, I can just skip some of these things. Just go read it yourself. And I do that with some. Go read that yourself. Why? Because you'd be angry if I read it to you. Right? So I try to be. But sometimes you get a vision. And shepherds have to have vision to know where God wants feeding to take place, right? What gets eaten in certain seasons is important. If you ever took care of livestock, you can't feed them the same thing all the time, right? It's different seasons. They have to have different things. It's a shepherd and guide. Shepherd and guide. Elders and leaders of all sizes, be aware of the direction that God wants so you can lead people there. If you're not aware, you're not going to get there. Be aware. You have to guide. Oh, let's talk about guides. All right, I'll pull over right there. Think about people who do guides for a living, that are guides. You know, think about a guide. You're going to get a guide for something. They take it where they've already been themselves. Like people want to guide other people. You ain't been there. So where are you guiding them to? Guides are supposed to take people where they've been themselves. There should be an experience. You want an experienced guide, right? Hey, we're going to go on this raging river today, and it's full of, you know, terrible things and rocks and sharp, crazy places. And some people have died in this thing, but have no fear. This is my first day on the job. You'd be like, dude, where's the guy that's been down 50 times? I want to go with him. You know, ah, this is my first time, but I watched it on TV. I did a YouTube video over and over again. Like, no, bro. You ain't been there. I'm not going with you. Not going to do it. Guided tours are only given by the generally experienced. So write this down if you're a future leader. That's, if you're 18 to 35, I want you to really write this down in your heart if you don't have a paper and pencil. You have to travel a while with God yourself. You have to travel a while with God yourself, right? And two, you have to learn how to follow him. Number two is you have to learn how to follow him before, number three, you can guide others to him. And the fourth thing you write down is you are called to be a guide to others in Christ. When you become a Christian, you sign up to learn how to be a guide. That's our job. If people are running away from Jesus because of you, you're not guiding them. We're supposed to guide them. So our job as future leaders is to learn how to follow him ourselves and then mature enough so we can guide other people to him, not to us, right? Say, because I am the church now. Shepherd, guide, and protect the flock of God among you. Protect. I'm going to break it down emotionally, spiritually, physically. Spiritually, protect. What gets put in as food matters spiritually. What you get taught, what you feed on. If you feed on conspiracy theory more than you're reading your word, you're going to be overbalanced. And I'm not saying all those things are wrong necessarily. Some of that stuff is probably dead on accurate. It should make us nervous and start praying more. But what are you feeding yourself? Protect. My job is to make sure I'm not feeding conspiracy theory and the things wrong with the world that I may talk to you in the parking lot a lot, but not here. Here's spiritual food. This is the only thing I should be serving here. That's it. Emotionally, know when to comfort and cry and when to motivate. That's protection sometimes. Ever try to motivate somebody when you should have just hugged them and cried with them? They don't receive that real well, do they? No. Ever have seen someone crying so much and resisting comfort so much that you know, look, I can't leave them there. I got to motivate them out. Right? That's part of protection. How about physically? Can we place ourselves between the wolves and his flock? Both internal wolves in sheep's clothing and external wolves, those that look to scatter and devour a sheep. Not everyone walks through a church door wants to follow Jesus. Been pastoring a long time. I can tell you that's the truth, right? If you ever lead anything that he has given you, shepherd, guide, and protect it. Anything he gives you, you're supposed to shepherd it, you're supposed to guide it and protect it, right? Dad, say amen. Yeah, dad, say amen. Here we are. Caring for others is our big responsibility. We should do it well. Shepherd, guide, and protect. And then it says exercising. And I thought about stopping there because I was like, eek, exercising. Leaders, you must exercise. Exercising oversight. Oh, thank you, Lord. Exercising oversight, not under compulsion. Compulsion is kind of feeling forced to. I've wrestled with God over that many times. I'll do it because you asked me to, but I don't want to do it. I'll do it because you're Lord, and then I'll go do it. Sure, I'll go deal with that tough thing. I don't want to deal with that conflict. What if they? I want to do it, but I'll do it. Ever been there with him? Mm-hmm. Not under compulsion, because that's not hupotasso anyways. Remember hupotasso? Volunteer, yielding. That's not what he's looking for. And then he says, but voluntarily. So hupotasso. Yeah, you can say Greek, say hupotasso. Yeah, leaders have to have hupotasso too. That's what he's saying here. Leaders need a hupotasso too. It says, all that done according to the will of God. God has ways, so get genuine coverage, right? And not motivated for shameful gain. Say motivation. Motivation is the real why in your heart. The why you're really doing the thing you're doing. Look. As God leaders, you can have, I'm not saying you can't have stacks on stacks, right, young people? You can't have cash on cash. I'm not saying you can't have, I know some men of God who are lit with cash. Great men of God who I love. But the problem is it can't be your motivation. Remember, he talked about that. If love of money is your focus, it's a root of evil. And we don't realize we can get sucked into it. You just don't realize, right? Because you start off with a good plan. Before you know it, your motivation's in check. And to God, motivation's everything. It doesn't matter about your works. Remember, you burn it up in the fire. Don't matter. What was your motivation to do it? I did all this for you, Lord. Not for me, you didn't. You did it for your YouTube followers. And do it for me. What's your motivation? That's everything. Also, here's a very important point. Ever seen leaders in church abusing their shepherd stuff for gain? You ever seen it?
Yes.
Look at your neighbor. Say, don't be that guy. Look at your other neighbor. Say, don't be that guy. Now look at pastor. Yes. But do it with wholehearted enthusiasm. Can anyone testify that's kind of challenging sometimes to throw your whole heart in? It's almost anything. Seriously, think about it. Your whole heart, unhindered, leap and just 100% in. I'm like, let me see who else is doing that. And then I'll walk behind them and I'll check it out. And then I'll decide, should I do it? Yeah. Your whole heart submitted under God, the all into whatever it takes. So my question is the church really all in? Are you all in? This is Peter's letter to the church, right? From the church to the church. Us who bear his name, if you call yourself a Christian, only picking on Christians, say, if you've not accepted Jesus, you don't got to, you can tune me out. You know, just don't play your iPod too loud. Tune me out. I'm talking to Christians today, right? iPod, I'm really old today. You can flip your tape later. Us who bear his name, are you all in? I pray the church global get all into the gospel of Christ in a hurry. It's a rough season out there. Say, I'm the church, so I must give my whole heart. And then check it out. Not lording it over those assigned. Not lording it over those assigned to your care. Ever seen that abused by a man of God? Man, I've been in places. If pastor snaps his fingers, people are running all over the place. I'll get out. I got that. And I've seen it done out of the most gentle, sincere hearts. People just serving like my mint, you know, just loving and serving me. But I've seen people feel such pressure to serve the man of God out of fear. It makes me throw up in my mouth. Not lording over those assigned to your care. Yeah, just edit that from the thing. It'll be edited for sure. Do not be arrogant. Do not be arrogant or overbearing. Here's a note to remember to all of us. Remember this, please. You don't know it all. Remember this about yourself. You do not know it all. And honestly, what you do know, the gifts you do have been given to you. So you should serve with humility. Say, but be. No, not but be. I heard not but be. I'm not talking about a but be. I'm talking about but be. But be, okay? But be examples. Say, be examples. Be examples of Christian living to the flock. Now, doesn't that just make sense? Man, we got to drag pastor out of the bar every day to get him over here preaching. Like, he should be there. He needs help. He's fallen and broke, and we should love him back to life, but he shouldn't be behind the pulpit right now. Why? Because he's not being. But he knows a lot. That doesn't matter. But be examples of Christian living to the flock. So if you lead anything, your home, anybody lead a home? How about your leader in your office, at your church? Be a good example. Say that with me. I will be a good example because I am the church now. That's right. Set a pattern of integrity. set a pattern of integrity. I mean, just don't have integrity once. Like, well, I didn't, you know. No, I'm talking set a pattern of integrity for your congregation. Say H life. Yeah. And when the chief shepherd, Christ, appears, you will receive, check this out, you will receive the conqueror's unfading crown of glory. Man, the conqueror's unfading crown. What a cool name for a crown. What are you wearing? The conqueror's crown of glory. Dude, how'd you get that? Well, you got to humble yourself and serve him in hard situations. You can't just buy that crown at Costco. You know. Notice, though, how integrity and humility are a common expectation for his bride, the church, and for his leaders. It's a common thing. 1 Peter 5:5 in the Amplified. Likewise, say for Pete's sake, it's going to be a rough one. Likewise, you younger men should be subject to the elders. Seek their counsel. Seek their counsel. Seek their counsel. I don't know, young guys. I'm not looking up at you right now. If you're young in the faith or you're a young guy, I do hope you hear me in this. I hope you hear it with all your heart and you apply it right away. Young man, for Pete's sake, get good godly elder counsel in your life, about your life, about your relationships. I'll tell you, Dr. Heidi and I have a long-standing history with some friends of ours. I think it just takes two. You guys are good. We got ushers from the hood here. I'm just saying. Don't tug on Superman's cape. Anyways, I'm just saying, young guys, what Dr. Heidi and I did when we started dating, we found three or four couples in the church that we saw stuff, at least on Sunday, that marriage looked good. And we were like leeches. We're coming over for dinner on Friday. And we would bring half and half dinner. Now, we were poor and we weren't even married yet. So we're going to get counsel before we got married about our relationship and how to do it right for people who were doing it. Right? And we would do like, let's do a half and half dinner. And we were poor, so like our half would be like potatoes. You know, they're like, well, we've got this brisket. We've got those. We brought potatoes. You know, that's how we were. But why? Because we wanted to suck something out of their lives, into our life, right? So it says, young men, right? Seek wise counsel and you're about your relationships. Man, we learn so much of things to put in our lives, and so many things are, oh, they look good at church. They don't taste good when we go out to dinner. But why doesn't they taste good? They don't taste good because I see him acting like this to her. And, oh, I don't want to do that to you, man. I don't want to work on that. Right? I don't want that. Get counsel. And hear no sometimes. And hear stop. And hear don't. Hear it. I'm just being Peter right now. I'm just reading Peter's words. The letter from the church to the church, okay? Only make sure you get godly counsel. You know? Just because someone agrees with you doesn't mean it's good counsel. Just because someone agrees with you doesn't mean it's good counsel. Get godly counsel. Wisdom and blessing are the instruction of the wise and experienced. Right? That's what happens. And all of you, check this out, and all of you, pastors, leaders, elders, both old followers and young followers, say all of you, clothe yourselves. You have to do some stuff for yourself sometimes. Sometimes we feel like, well, God and the church is like government assistance. Nothing wrong with government assistance, but you should be helping yourself whenever you can. Same thing. It's the same thing. You got to clothe yourself. You got to put the work in yourself. No, it says clothe yourself with humility towards one another. Tie on the aprons of a steward. You understand? You can't, if you don't humble yourself, it's worse when someone else humbles you. If you have the option to humble yourself or let someone else humble you, pick humble yourself every time. It's a way easier lesson to humble yourself than, because if you don't, the other one's coming. It's coming. Clothe yourself with humility towards one another. Tie on the servant's apron. Put the effort in. Get the same attitude that Christ had. Remember, that was last week. He had that servant's attitude. Get his attitude. That was last episode. For God is opposed to the proud. He's opposed to the proud. Translation, He comes out and fights against them. You want God fighting against your life? Well, humble yourself. Humble yourself. But he gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Say, phaftai. That's Samoan for thank you, right? Phaftai, Lord, grace. I appreciate that. The church is expected to have integrity. And the church is expected to have humility and wholehearted commitment to God's purpose. Doesn't that just make sense? That's what's expected. Say, for Pete's sake, 1 Peter 5, 6. For Pete's sake, I better pick up the pace, huh? For Pete's sake, 5, 6. Therefore, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Better than being humbled by someone else. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Do you see a theme developing? Humble yourself. There's a theme developing here. Right? Anyone realize that it's us taking an action step every time? There's us with an action. It's not, God says, do this first, right? Set aside. Set aside self-righteous pride. Set aside self-righteous pride so that he may exalt you to a place of honor to his service. This is the tough sentence next. You ready? Right here. At the appropriate time. He has a plan. He always has a plan. If he has a plan, you believe God has a plan? Yeah. If he has a plan, then he also has a timing for that plan. How many of us messed up God's timing before? Oh, yeah. You're all like, you weren't in on much things. Like, yep, I'm in on that. I'm on there. Mess that up. You know, Ecclesiastes is a whole book about appropriate timing. There's a time for this and a time for that and a time for this and a time for that. But I want it now. Sorry, Veruca Salt, you can't have it now. Yeah. Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, she turned into a big blueberry. Was that her? The one that was dancing on the, yeah, golden egg. Yeah. You can't have it, Veruca. You can have good things ruined by messing up timing. I think I've got a slide. Bad timing ruins good things. Bad timing ruins good things. There are lots of sad examples. That's a picture of what it looks like when it happens. That's a picture of sad examples of when we get it outside of God's timing. You can rush ahead of God and ruin it, or you can drag your feet and mess it up. Yeah, it happens, right? Don't fall behind and don't forge ahead, but do let him control the timing. Say, God controls time. Good. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your cares, eek. I am the church now. I better do that better. Casting all your anxieties. Well, I cast them, but they're not often right to the Lord. Cast all your anxieties and all your worries. Anybody have any anxieties and worries? Yeah, you better. Yeah. Once and for all on him. That's hard to do, isn't it? Sometimes we pick them back up. We worry about something that we gave God a couple minutes ago. Right? And he says, hey, I'm trying to remind you, the church, we all do it. Every leader needs to understand that, right? Once and for all on him, for he cares about you. For he cares about you. Why is he messing up your timing? And why? Because he cares about you. He cares about you. He cares about you with the deepest affection, it says, and watches over you very carefully. Isn't that sweet? He cares about you with the deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Say, for Pete's sake. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. For Pete's sake, be sober. For Pete's sake, be sober, be well balanced. I pray that for this church every day. Well balanced. That doesn't mean vanilla, lukewarm. It means well balanced. When it's time to fight, you fight. Pray, it's time to pray. When it's time, I'm telling you, there's times of things, and being well balanced is being in the timing of God at the timing of God. Yeah. Right? You can't force the hand of God. It's just, you can't. He's God. If you could force his hand, would he be God? I beat God in arm wrestling. It's not so strong. Dude, why are you serving him then if he's not so strong? Be sober, be well balanced, and be self-disciplined. Say be. Be.
be alert and cautious at all times.
If you're melancholy, obviously this is true. If you don't know what that is, you can get an ethos test. It's great. But if you're melancholy, else melancholy is like, yeah. Always be like, you're walking around with people who are not melancholy. You're like, dude, do you see that bus coming? Are you laughing and goofing in the street? You see that sketchy guy over there? I'm like herding ducklings anytime we go to Scottsdale. Right? And they're just like, and I'm like, no, be aware. That's my, I'm aware, Joe. I'm too aware sometimes. Did you disagree with me? Pastor Jerry goes, yeah, true. You are too aware sometimes. Be alert and cautious at all times that the enemy of yours, the devil, say boo. He prowls around. He prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hunger, seeking someone to devour. See, unfortunately, evil is all in. Evil is all in. 100%. Next thing says, but resist him. But resist him. That takes action to resist. Will you just pray for me that I wouldn't? Sure. What's your action step, though? Resist looks like sometimes not having a smartphone.
Amen.
That's what resist looks like sometimes for some people. Sometimes resist looks like block and delete that number. Especially if you got a dealer still, block and delete that number. Why? Got to resist him. I don't know what your resistance is. I don't know what you need to resist, but I guarantee there's something. There's something you got to resist. Even snacks sometimes, you got to resist snacks. It's not easy. B, say B.
B.
Be firm in your faith. Be firm in your faith. Be firm in your faith against his attack. Be rooted. Be established. Be immovable. Say, oorah. Sometimes you know that attitude you have about being stubborn? That stubborn attitude, like, everyone ever called you stubborn before? Phew, all the time, right? Stubborn. So use that for him. Be firm, and I'm not going to be messed by the devil. I'm resisting. I'm going to set myself in position. I'm going to be established. I'm going to be immovable. I'm going to set myself in and say, not today. Not today. Knowing that the same experience of suffering are being experienced, the same experience of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and your sisters throughout the world. Do you believe there's suffering going on out in the world that's bigger than yours? Anyone think that there's suffering? There is suffering in the world. Your brothers and your sisters throughout the world, you do not suffer. I was going to stop there. Sometimes what we call suffering, they're mean to me on Facebook. I'm suffering. That is sad, and they were rude, and I hope that they get God's correction. But suffering, you do not suffer alone. Oh, thank you, God. You are not alone. Isn't it great to be not alone? I'm going to give you a karaoke opportunity with me, right? We're going to sing a short bar of a song that most of you will know. And it's not Christian. I know. She has her finger on the edit button already. She's up here. Say this. We are family. All my brothers, sisters, and me. How? Right? We are family. That's true. You're not alone. When you actually come to Christ, you get family. You get family. And you're supposed to be family. Not the crazy uncle brother that shows up at the family reunion like, dude, who sent that invitation? Not that kind of family. You're supposed to change. Maybe that was me. But God's changing me, so now I get invited. You know, thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 5:10 through 11. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, will himself complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Let him do it. Don't get ahead of his timing. Just let him do it. Making you what you ought to be. Making you what you ought to be. Making you what you ought to be. We got to progress in what we ought to be, not what we used to be and what we are. We got to get to what we ought to be. We have to get there. And he said, I'm working on that. That's why I'm That's why some of the stuff you're having in your life, yeah, I'm working on you to get you where you ought to be. I was just fighting with you about that. Why is that happening? Because it's helped me get to where I ought to be. Another lesson in humility for me.
Got it.
Thank you, Lord. Can I have another? To him be dominion. To him be power. To him be authority. To him be sovereignty. To him be sovereignty forever. Say forever. Forever. Right? Be your designed, unique self. Sure, you've been created unique. Don't be a cookie cutter. Be your unique self, but don't be proud and self-made. I'm a self-made man. Oh, that's a problem. It's preached in a lot of places, and it sounds good to us men because it appeals to what I'm a self-made man. You know, I grew up with nothing. I grew up in poverty, and I rose. Don't be Lonnie Frisbee in that section of the movie. We've all been Frisbees. We've thrown it, right? Look at me. It can happen. Look at me. It can happen. It can happen quick. Be your unique self, but don't be proud and self-made. Do what he designed you to be. Be what he designed you to be. His letters to us, to the church so far, is this: be integrous, be humble, be established, be guides, protect, and lead. Let all you do be about him. So far, that's what we've got in this last episode. The close of this series of the first book of Peter, our letter to the church, is also about Peter setting order. He gives props. It's okay to acknowledge and give props to people. Like, it's important, actually, to give accolades to people. Appreciation's good. We, the church, are not the jealous types anymore, are we? Other people can get accolades even when you think you should get them. Can other people get praise and recognition even when you don't? To demonstrate that new response of his church, I was going to have Christian Husband read this line because I picture his head. When I wrote it down, I heard Christian Husband say this. Yeah. And I call him, dude. He goes, no, I'm still in Oregon. I said, dang, I'm going to have to pretend to be you on Sunday. And it says this, I could just see him. Guys, we celebrate others here and their accomplishments. That's what we do here. We're the church. We celebrate guys, each other, and their accomplishments. You know, if you don't know Christian, that's him. That's him. Come on, guys, right? We celebrate each other, right? That's what we do. But the motivation has a flip side. We should not seek recognition. It's good to be recognized. Don't seek it. The now church has a mantra. I got a slide. Don't seek recognition. It is not your idol. Don't seek recognition. It's not your idol. Don't seek recognition. It's not your idol. It's not your idol. But we, the church, do recognize it's important to give honor to whom honor is due. It's not that we're not supposed to recognize. Just don't seek recognize. 1 Peter 5, 12 through 14. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, look, he's giving props. Peter's like, that guy, love that guy. That's what he's saying. My faithful guy, love that guy. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, right? Hopefully, all the bros should have integrity and faithfulness, right? But he's just pointing out Silvanus is doing something for him. I have written to you briefly to counsel and testify that this is the true grace, the undeserved favor of God. Stand firm in it. Say, stand firm in it. For Pete's sake. Stand firm in it for Pete's sake. You know? She, the church who is in Babylon, it's another whole sermon, I guess, chosen together with you, the church then, chosen together with you now, the church, right? The church sends you greetings, and so does my son. Wait a minute. His son, Mark, immediately I got, oh, Peter must be Samoan. Yeah, honestly, I'll travel with Apostle John. Sometimes I'm Pastor Sean. Sometimes I am Prophet Sean. Sometimes I'm chief of something. You know, right? So he got titles for me, but one of them is, that's my son. I don't get offended anymore. I used to be like, dude, I am not your son. Right. But to him, it's a term of endearment. I helped train you up. I helped raise you up. You're a son in the faith to me. We should have sons. We should have sons. And so does my son in the faith, Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Now listen, that's a cultural thing. Don't start kissing people around here. Don't, I'm greeting with, no, you're just single and have an issue. Stop it. Kenny does not want to be kissed and greeted. That's not how he rolls. Kenny's a fist bump, give me a hug kind of guy. Right? He's like, yeah, Pastor, thank you for clarifying that. I don't want to get all these kisses at the door. You know, I want to have that. Amen. To all of you who are in Christ, to all of you who are in Christ, may there be peace. Amen. Hey, we got fiery trials going on in the world. And personally, we're going through stuff. And the enemy's fighting against us. And it seems really stressful and frustrating sometimes, doesn't it? I want to speak to you. May there be peace. You're in the season of God. You're in. Be all in to your season. This letter to us was right in the right timing of God. When you check on the humility and integrity of something, you know what you're doing to the building. You're checking how strong it is if you can build on it. This letter checks on our humility and our integrity a lot. Because God wants to build something again in his church. Say, I am his church. Not about building something here. It's about building his church. Amen. And you're a living stone. He's been talking about integrity and faith a lot too. Genuine integrity, genuine faith. Why? Because he wants to use you to build something in the world again. The church is going to grow again because you're growing. Amen. It's your season. Amen. You're the leaders now. It's your time, right?
Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for doing a move in our lives. Father, we thank you for doing a move in the lives of those that are about to be baptized. So, Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to celebrate with them, and that's what we're here to do. God, change our lives for the glory of God and even for the good for others. In the name of Jesus, let the church say, amen. Let's go ahead and go outside, get ready out on the patio to celebrate.